Oh boy, it says we're live. Let's see if we've got audio today. It's always a adventure here at Cheesehead TV on the YouTube channel. Good to see everybody in the comments section already. All the regulars are here. Big B, Joey the Jaguar. Good to see everybody. Thanks for hopping on 10 a.m. Eastern each and every weekday here on Cheesehead TV. We log on, talk to Packers fans worldwide about all the latest on the green and gold. You love to see it. Love to see the community. Love to see everyone joining in. Hello. Ala, J-Rock. How you doing, man? What else we got here? Jared. Hello. Robin. With there being so many free agents, top-level running backs at the end of the season like Henry, Cook, Kamara, etc., do you think it improves the chances that Jones could sign an Eckler-like deal? Yeah. I think there's always been a decent chance of, I don't know if you'd call it a strict hometown discount, but I think you'll definitely see something get done that, you know, is at least a little, what would you call it? Equitable for the Packers. I don't know. I'm searching for a word. It probably doesn't exist, but it's, you know, yeah, I think it gets done simply because you look at the market. I know the report came out this morning that Henry is most likely not going to sign an extension prior to Wednesday's deadline because he is a franchise player and will play on the tag. But I'd be surprised if a lot of those guys even came close to sniffing the market once you talk about the depression of the – what is expected to be a depression of the salary cap next year. I think it definitely gives teams a little bit more leverage in regards to giving guys a little something now as opposed to testing the market when, sure, there will be teams flush with cash. There are right now. But this the depression of deals at that position is a very real thing, and I don't see that changing anytime soon just because of the nature of the position they play. We talked about it yesterday. Aaron Jones is very special in this offense, and they utilize him correctly. And he's probably more valuable to Green Bay than any other team, which is why I think a deal will get done. But we'll see. There's a lot to play out. What's up, George? George Osborne. Good morning. If Jamal Williams isn't traded, what comp pick do you think the Packers will get for him? Well, Brandon, a lot of that depends on the deal he ends up signing. Got to think in this day and age, it probably won't be incredibly insanely lucrative, but I would be thinking between a six, maybe pushing up to a fifth round comp pick, but there's a long way to go before that. I guess a trade, you know, you start your question with the idea of trading him. It's a possibility. I'd be naive to dismiss it completely, but I'd be surprised. I think they really like him in that building. They really like what he brings as a, you know, potential 1-2 punch. We saw a great deal of that last year. Who knows what the mix will be with AJ Dillon now, but I think they really like what he brings to their offense. And I'd be shocked if they traded him away, unless someone called, say there was a team with just a bunch of injuries all of a sudden this summer, once whenever camps start up, and they're desperate and they want to flip a decent pick, a day two pick for Jamal Williams. I think there's a 0.1% chance of that actually happening, but in that scenario, maybe they trade him away. Hi, Nagler. Greetings from Argentina. What's up, Sebastian? How are you? Joy the Jaguar. Might be a dumb question, but where are player salaries coming from? Straight from the owner's massive wallets? No, Joey, they come out of, I mean, it's a little more complicated than that. They come out of the collective revenue pool. That's what you hear bandied about, probably seen bandied about on Twitter when CBA negotiations are going on. And, you know, the massive pool of money basically between broadcast rights, gate receipts, merchandise, etc., all gets put into one big pot and then it gets sliced up. Ownership gets a certain percentage and then it's divided among the owners, and then the players get another certain percentage and that gets divided in basically gets allocated via salary cap to, you know, all 32 teams. They have the cap that they have to keep under, etc. So the owners are the ones signing the checks in so much as they're getting money, but that money is being allocated from a bunch of different resources. We are not trading Jamal Williams because he is the GOAT. Big B has spoken. Hmm. Jared, what's up, man? On Andy Herman's podcast, he felt Jordan Love's biggest weakness are blitz pickup, accuracy, decision-making, and reading the D. Do you agree? That's a long list, but he's a young player. You know, I mean, I think you could probably list all of that under weaknesses for Brett Favre when he came into the league. You know, and like Favre, it's interesting. And I know Andy did this, so I'm not suggesting he didn't. But if you look at Jordan Love's final year in college, the tape there, I think all of those concerns are very much warranted. You go back a year before, and some of those start to ease away. Obviously, I think his 2018 tape is a lot better than his 2019 tape. That's been well documented as far as a change of coaching, a big time change as far as his supporting cast. And Favre was similar in the sense that, you know, his junior year, the tape was absolutely amazing, just outstanding. And then he had his car accident, and then his senior year was, you know, it was good, not great, basically. You know, I think Jordan Love, sure, you could pick at his game any which way you want. It's not about what he's done in college. It's not about what he even put on tape in college in the sense that he was going against a certain level of competition. And yes, that's true of every college player, but where the rubber meets the road is what you project him to do. And with his physical traits, the sky is the absolute limit for this kid. I mean, he could be very, very special. Now, it's going to take a hell of a lot of work, both on his part and the Packers' part, for that to come to fruition. But you're projecting him forward 2 or 3 years, how you think those tools can be fit, not only in your system, but with your coaching staff, with your supporting cast, etc. He could be a very special player. And the things you're talking about as far as, you know, a blitz pickup, I mean, that's an adjustment, right? An easy adjustment at the line of scrimmage a lot of the time, or hitting a hot route. I can show you plenty of times last year when Aaron Rodgers missed his hot route. You know, first one that comes to mind, I just watched the Bears game, the home Bears game a couple days ago. He misses an easy hot route, which he should have let go when he has Khalil Mack in his face because they've got slide protection. The tackle comes down. Bulaga, as he's supposed to, pinches in, leaves Mack free. That's on the quarterback to hit the hot read. Aaron Rodgers, two-time MVP, doesn't do it. You know, and yes, are there plenty of instances where you can look at Jordan Love's tape and go, oh, we had some bad recognition there pre-snap? Sure. But that's why you've got a coaching staff. That's the whole point of development. You strip all of that away and you just look at the tools, he's got them. And again, he could be very, very special. So we'll see. You know, I know in this 24-hour news cycle, even hour-to-hour news cycle of Twitter, the world that we live in at the moment, patience is pretty much disregarded when it comes to player evaluation and development being a key to any player, but a quarterback especially. Just be patient. It's going to take time with Love. Fortunately, they have time. And that's the great thing. Have you watched any of A.J. Dillon's tape lately? I'm feeling like he could be a real find. More likes, folks. Yeah, hey, hit like on the video. Yeah, I mean, look, he looks great, especially when you look at the fact that he was running into so many stacked boxes. Again and again and again, he's running into 8-9-man fronts and producing. Now, you would think, one would hope, that that will lessen when he gets to the NFL and he's got Aaron Rodgers as his quarterback. But he's still going to have to prove it against NFL caliber talent. Guys bigger, stronger, faster than what he ever faced at BC. So it's encouraging looking at his tape, no question about it. But again, as I always say, it doesn't mean anything until you step on an NFL field and do it against NFL competition. Do I think Kevin King's extension depends on how Josh Jackson plays this year? Not directly, no. I mean, if Josh Jackson surprises you, comes out of nowhere and actually contributes, maybe that gives you a little bit of leeway. But I think much more about what they can do with Kenny Clark, David Bakhtiari, and Aaron Jones. I don't think it's so much that, okay, we're set at corner, we don't need to re-sign him. You want to keep good players, regardless of what else the position offers you. You know, now, obviously, there are times like cutting Mike Daniels. I thought he was still a very good player. I still think he is a good player when healthy, of course. We know he had issues with that last year, but I disagree with letting Mike go for that very reason. I think it's silly to move on from good players. I think Kevin King is a good player. And I know a lot of Packers fans, especially on game day on Twitter, disagree, but I think he's a good player. I think they would like to keep him around, but it's going to be tricky given all the other people they have to pay. Wow, I made it to a live show. What's up, James? Salut. Good morning. Thanks for joining us here on Cheesehead TV. Nags, do teams have any insight into which players are willing to learn? It seems there are so many draft players with the tools but never quite change. That's a pretty broad statement there. I mean, insight, they have whatever their scouts have gleaned over the course of however long they've watched them in college, and that's where the valuable work comes in of being on the ground at schools, talking to coaching staffs, talking to administrators, et cetera, even teachers, even classmates. I think A.J. Dillon is a perfect example. You heard that the Packers had been basically tracking him since he stepped on the campus at Boston College. You know, they've loved that player for a long time. A lot of it because of stuff off the field, character stuff, a willingness to learn, et cetera. I mean, that's how far back it goes. But then, you know, the decision makers have to get in a room with these guys. And that's why the combine is so valuable. That's when Brian Gutekunst can sit down with a guy. Matt LaFleur can sit down with a guy and try and get a sense of, does he like to learn? Is he willing to learn? But hey, I think it's not so much the sense of guys being willing to learn. I think most guys are hungry for knowledge. I just think it's a question of work ethic more than anything else. And that's really hard to determine in a 15-minute interview, you know? And it's rare that you're going to hear from a college coach that he didn't put in the work because they can only do so much. And most guys lap it up, but they do have coursework and things they have to deal with school life-wise. When you get to the NFL level, all that kind of time that was spent on other things in college becomes your job to be focused on football. Some guys handle that better than others. And I think the truly elite ones, the ones who really kind of hone their craft, are the ones who kind of are enveloped by it. And, you know, it's unfortunate that it gets painted in a negative light. And I understand why people want well-rounded guys. They want guys who, or some, you know, they give lip service to the idea of wanting guys who have interests off the football field and et cetera, blah, blah, blah. But in reality, they want that guy who's always in his playbook, who's always learning, who's always trying to break down tape and or be in the gym and or running routes and or doing drills on his own. You know, those are the guys they really love. So yeah, I think it comes down a lot to work ethic, because the talent level in the NFL is so, you know, across all 32 teams is pretty damn thin. They're all very similar. Yes, there are special players, and those players transcend kind of the norm. But essentially, a lot of the games that are decided by one or two plays happen because your quote unquote normal players did a little bit more, studied a little harder, made a play here or there that the other guy didn't. You know, it's so thin, and it all comes down to, you know, a work ethic, consistency, day in and day out, doing the right thing, continuing to grow, continuing to learn. Some guys got it, some guys don't. And I think you see a manifestation of that a lot in the year one to year two jump if a guy makes it. You know, those are the guys that you should really keep your eye on. David, thanks for the super chat. If the preseason games are taken from 2-0, hopefully that doesn't happen, how much harder is it going to be for an undrafted free agent to make an impact? It's going to be very difficult, David. It's already going to be difficult, especially since this is the week. They're still talking about COVID protocols. They're still talking about the ability or non-ability of guys to opt out, reduction of roster sizes in general from 90 to maybe 80, 75 even, I've heard bandied about. But, you know, every one of these steps towards getting the season going is a bad news bulletin for undrafted free agents. There's zero question about it. There are going to be fewer opportunities to put yourself on tape, especially in competitive situations. And it just makes all those practice reps all the more valuable. No question. Jitsu, thanks for the super chat. Nags, you ever watch Bill Curry's view on race on YouTube? Willie Davis is a fucking legend. I haven't. I've seen the thumbnail, but I've never watched the video. I'll have to check it out. And you are right. Willie Davis is a fucking legend. Do you think we're going to miss Bulaga, or do you feel good about what we've got? Well, I think they'll miss Bulaga. There's zero question about that. I do think they can operate the offense on the level they want to. I don't think they have to change much as far as how they go about calling plays, game plan, etc. But there's certainly going to be a dip in play from Bulaga to Wagner. And that's to be expected. I mean, Blaga is one of the best. He's a top five right tackle in the league. Zero question about it. Wagner hopefully bounces back and rounds back into form. Much more 2018 Wagner than 2019 Wagner. But even if Wagner's at his best, he's not Blaga. So that's just part of doing business. You know, you can't pay everybody. Traditionally, you don't want to give those third contracts out to aging tackles that have been kept together by duct tape now for a number of years and who had to bow out a number of times last year. Let's not forget. Yeah, it's just life in the NFL, you know, can't keep everybody. Who finishes with more receptions in 2020, Funchess or EQ? I'm going to say EQ. I think Funchess probably has some big plays in him, especially in the red zone. But yeah, I think EQ is going to maybe not surprise people because I think Packers fans are really excited for him. But I do think he's going to be pretty damn productive. I think they're going to be able to utilize him all over the formation in a lot of different ways. And I think his willingness as a blocker, I was going back and watching his rookie year, and he really seems to like sticking his nose in there in the run game, which I think is going to, Matt LaFleur is really going to like that. No doubt about it. I saw somebody mention Madden ratings. I mean, look, I love that we get to this point of the offseason every year, but this year especially because there's so much uncertainty. There's so much what's going to happen with the season. Is there going to be a season, etc.? They have a Madden's rating reveal week. A week where they are dripping out Madden ratings. And the big brouhaha, the big controversy earlier this week was Aaron Rodgers wasn't in the top five. Aaron Rodgers is only rated an 89. Aaron Rodgers is fine. Goodness gracious, people. If you watched last year, you cannot quibble with an 89 rating. I'm sorry. He's still a top 10 dude in the NFL. Fine. There's no knock. That's not disrespect. People get so caught up in this. And also, Madden ratings, really? Like they matter. David Bakhtiari has been the quote-unquote best-rated left tackle in the game for years, yet he still gets beat by journeyman defensive ends and linebackers on third and long just because, well, the computer decided at this point he's going to get beat. So what's the point? I set my protection knowing I've got the best left tackle in the game, and he still gets beat by a nobody. What am I even doing here? Why do I even care or pay attention to the Madden ratings? It's just more content. That's all it is. I'm going to do, hear me now. I am going to do a video, a separate video, just with Madden ratings in the title. It doesn't matter. It could be called Madden ratings carrot or Madden ratings blueberry. And it wouldn't matter. It's still going to do numbers. It's probably do better numbers than this chat. Probably do better numbers than any video I've put up this month. That's why people do it. And that's why people glom onto it on the content side. Because it does numbers. Because everybody wants to talk about Madden ratings, about who got snubbed and who got... It doesn't matter. Until EA gets some real competition in the video game sphere, it doesn't matter. So, you know, talk about your Madden ratings, fine. I'll put up that video. It'll do numbers, fine. But give me a break, Madden ratings. They don't matter. There you go. That's my Madden ratings rant for this year. Was Za'Darius Smith playing at his ceiling last year, or can he still improve? Yes. I do believe that Smith was on one last year. There's zero doubt about that. But I do think there is room for improvement, and I think you will see it from Za'Darius. I do think getting him off the field a little bit more, reserving some gas in that tank for the fourth quarter at times, will do wonders for him. And that's where Rashawn Gary comes in. So I hope we see a little bit more out of Z, which is crazy to say, to think, after the insane year he put up last year. But yeah, I think he's got a little bit more, and I think we'll see it this season. Wow, somebody finally tells the truth. I don't know about that. It's just how I feel after decades of playing football on consoles and being supremely frustrated at the people who make Madden. God bless him, man. It's like, you know, we got pure Coke, right? And then you got the cut stuff and then the stuff that they dilute. And then they got that stuff that's diluted from the diluted stuff. Like EA is on the dilution of the third dilution of football in their video game. It used to be great. It used to be pure. It used to be awesome. But now they've disappeared up their own ass. And it's just sad. It's just sad. What defender the Packers can't afford to lose to injury? Z, maybe Jair? Oh, I think they could probably – what's crazy is I think they could weather the storm if Jair went down, because hopefully Gary continues to develop into somebody who won't be Z, but can get – you can get by with him, right? Jair goes down. Yikes. That's a nightmare scenario for Mike Pettine, I'll tell you that. Kevin King, more or less INTs in 2020 than in 2019. More, because I think he's going to hold on to more, and he's still going to be thrown at a bunch because of Jair Alexander on the other side. I said it last offseason, and I was right. It's very rare. It happens, so I have to trumpet it. But I said last year, Kevin King was going to lead the team in interceptions because nobody's going to want to go at Jair, and that sure as hell happened. And as many as he had, he dropped like three of them, and he has hand on like three more. He could have had double-digit interceptions easily. So I think, yeah, he's going to have more this year. Yeah, but you know you're still going to buy the new Madden this year, as I will. Ha ha. Brandon, I will not. I have not bought a Madden game in years because I get it for free. And I still bitch about it. That's how bad it is. All right, guys. I'm going to jump. Can't thank you guys enough for hanging out, talking Packers with me. Make sure you join me this afternoon, 5:30 Eastern. Some Packers trivia here on the YouTube channel. It's always fun. It's always live. Always a good time. A bunch of regulars here know what I'm talking about. In the meantime, please hit like on this video. Hit subscribe on the channel. Tell your friends. Tell your family. Cheesehead TV. We are devoted to Green Bay Packers fans worldwide. Have a great day, everybody. Go Pack, go.